That works out well because the brown dog, Jonathan Brown, he's up here. He's back up in Queensland. Yeah. And it was a big night for you and Susan last night because what was this actual dinner that you guys were at?
Well, it's
great to have you back, by the way.
Thank you.
It's great to be back.
Yes. I feel like I'm at home.
Yes.
I remember when we started back in 2005 in these studios. Yep. I think it was downstairs or on this level, and it was surrounded by cardboard boxes and egg cartons on the walls.
Yeah. Yes.
And when Nova first started.
That's right.
On level one of this building. Yeah.
Yep.
And I think I could just tell when I came on air to do a trial, the three of you guys and Michelle Laurie were just staring at me going, who the hell is this big fella? Can't string two words together. He's just been arrested and sent home from Thailand.
That's right.
You were literally a flight risk for us at that point.
Yeah. And we went, he's perfect for breakfast radio. As soon as he gets his footy out of the way, what a career he's got.
Last night you strung some great words together because you were inducted it was the Queensland Sports Star of the Year Awards and Brownie was inducted into the Hall of Fame along with Anna Mears. So congratulations.
Yeah, wow. Good on you, mate.
I was rapt when I got the call. Obviously, you had already been there, Susie. You're probably a legend. But to get the call a few weeks ago, it was a big honour, actually. And obviously, hold a very close to my heart in terms of my sporting career. It was 15 years at the Lions. It was a great time.
15 years, was it? Mm. And now that you've been away from it for a couple of seasons, can you look back on your career now and go, wow, like, because you were so young when we were winning those premierships back to back. Like, did you realise at the time just how important and how precious that moment in time was for not just for yourself, but for the whole of Queensland, really?
Yeah, it was. Yep. Well, the difference in the sort of 3 or 4 years ago, I told the story last night, Susie, when I first turned up the Lions in the late 90s, and AFL, you know, wasn't really that well known in this town, and I got me Brisbane Lions pole and a few other things. I was so proud. I thought, I'm going to go to Carindale Shopping Centre and I'm going to walk through the shopping centre with my Lions gear on, and people start coming up to me and getting my autograph, you know, as an 18-year-old. You know, I'm a star, you know, I'll be well-known in Victoria, just as well-known as Carindale Shopping Centre. And I went up, to buy myself a smoothie there, and the girl looked at me and she goes, oh, the Lions. I go, yeah, I play for the Lions. And she goes, oh, they're a great soccer team. And, oh, my God. I rang Mum in tears, and Mum, I'm homesick.
Take me back to Warrnambool.
Back to Warrnambool in Victoria. So, and then to think, it was 4 years later, we played... three premierships in a row and put AFL on the map.
You really did in this state,
and it was just great times.
You're at that age now, Brownie, and you've retired just that sort of length of time that a lot of players like yourself start thinking about coaching right about now.
Mm.
Are you having those thoughts?
A little bit.
Yeah?
A little bit. I've coached the last couple of years back home in representative football, and I'm lucky enough that I do this job in Melbourne, but the Brekkie Radio in Melbourne, but there's always that soft spot for the coaching, but you turn into a madman. You turn into a lunatic.
Answer me this. Yeah. Name one coach that you look at in any sport, rugby league, AFL, whatever, that you go, geez, I'd love his life.
Like,
Is there an AFL coach or a coach that you go, oh, God, he looks like he's having fun. He really looks like he's getting the most out of life.
They look stressed the whole time, don't they? And I think it just takes over their life. It's a 24/7 job, no doubt about it. And obviously from a family balance, I've got three little kids. It's hard for the guys to balance that up. And I know first and foremost I'd be... You know, I'd have a divorce. So I'd be starting. So it'd be amazing. I'd be the first coach to ever divorce before his coaching career starts. So.
But what about the difference that Lee Matthews made to you? Because you spoke about that last night. And he, like, to make that difference to a player, like he virtually, you said, turned you into a great player would be amazing.
Well,
I think that
it's the influence you can have. And I just, in my small part of coaching I've done the last couple of years, all being a representative level, you see the joy that you get of seeing them, I suppose, better themselves or have a win or have success in their field. It's a different feeling to being a player, no doubt about that. But Lee's influence on my life was profound. You know, it was magnificent. I still remember the first meeting where we came up to the Lions, and I thought, Lee, he's such a man of principle, and he's got one set of rules for everyone. And Lee had two rules: be punctual and your skin fold, which is the old pinch test, you had to be less than 50. If you want to play for the Brisbane Lions, you have to be less than 50. And a great teammate, Chris Johnson, went on a honeymoon and he married an Italian girl. And he went on his honeymoon and he came back from his honeymoon and his skin folds were 140. He looked like the Michelin man. And, so we got through the whole pre-season and Jono was getting nowhere near 50. We're on the eve of round one. And Lee Matthews stood up in front of the group and said, I'll tell you what, guys, you know I've got a rule here. You won't get a game for the Brisbane Lions unless your skin folds are under 50 or your name's Chris Johnson. I thought, hang on a minute, Lethal. Good set of rules here. I can work with this bloke.
Ash, Kip and Lottie.